The first reading today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11, and will be found on page 1155 of the Church Bible. The Resurrection of Christ. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and in which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. The second reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. It will be found on page 1174. Made alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. May God bless to us this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Ishbel. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength, the redemption of all who call on your name in faith. Amen. Well, as we know, we've been making our way through a very particular series over the last few weeks. We have been reflecting on the legacy of the Protestant Reformation. And we are reflecting on the Protestant Reformation this month because it is this month, 500 years ago, 1517, that Martin Luther attached his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg. And that started the Protestant Reformation formally all across Europe. over time, since 1517, people have tried to boil down the core ideas of the Reformation into ideas we can understand. And over time, what began with Martin Luther with his 95 theses became five statements of faith: Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, the glory of God alone. These five ideas capture much of what the Reformation was and is about. And I say is about because 500 years on, we are still swimming in the waters of the Reformation. The Reformers, people like Luther and John Calvin, were fond of saying that the church is once reformed and always reforming. It is up to each generation of Christians, including us, to examine our faith, our lives, and see if our faith and our lives match up, if we are truly following Christ as his disciples. And so far, we have reflected on the meaning of Scripture alone. That was our first week. And then we looked at faith alone last week. This week, we are carrying on with the third of the five: grace alone. Grace alone. But what is grace? We hear a lot of talk about grace in Holy Scripture. We heard a lot of talk about it today, especially in our reading from Ephesians. But what is grace? Well, I have a few thoughts on this. First of all, I think when we talk about God's grace, we first have to say that God's grace is free. It is free. Now, free is an interesting word. What do we mean by free? What does it mean that God's grace is free? First, we mean it in the sense that it is without restriction, without compulsion. And we also mean that God's grace cannot be bought or purchased. Remember that one of the things that Luther reacted so strongly against back in 1517 was the sale of what they called indulgences by the Roman Catholic Church of the time. This idea that if you purchase an indulgence from the church, it would reduce a loved one's time of punishment in the afterlife. That's one of the teachings that Luther reacted against. Now, so God's grace, in contrast, is free. And as Christians, we believe that the grace of God is at the very heart of the gospel. It is the foundation of the entire good news of salvation offered to us in Jesus Christ. Grace is free. It is at the heart of the gospel. And the very nature of grace tells us that it was and is God's free choice to show us such grace. The gospel tells us that there is no sort of hidden inner compulsion in God, no ulterior motive, no greater power that forced him to show us grace. Rather, Scripture tells us that from beginning to end that God is love, 1 John 4:8. It is in God's very nature to show grace, kindness, love, mercy. God's grace is free. Now, in our culture, we are quite suspicious of things, I think, that are free. Last Friday, Heather and I went into Aberdeen to run some errands. We went to the Union Square Shopping Center. It's quite a sight, isn't it? All those adverts, all those signs promising all sorts of things, all sorts of deals. I walked by one sign that said, "Free iPhone with every purchase." Well, all right. Free iPhone with every purchase. I got closer to the picture, looked down at the bottom, and what did I see at the bottom of the picture? That really, really tiny print that you can almost barely read. The fine print, right? The terms and conditions, which made it quite clear upon reading them, I probably looked quite odd staring at the glass this far away reading the small print, but after reading the fine print, it was clear that that free iPhone was anything but. We tend to apply this same kind of suspicion when we hear about God's free grace. We hear the gospel. We hear this good news that God loves us more than we can ever possibly hope to dare to begin to imagine. And we wonder, what's the catch? Friends, when it comes to God's grace, there is no catch. There is no downside. There is no hidden motive. By giving us grace in Jesus Christ, God wants us to become what we already are in Jesus, sons and daughters of God. You've heard the saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch. We've heard the saying that it's too good to be true. God's grace is not like that. God's grace is good because it is true. And it's true because it is good. So God's grace is free. That, of course, means that God's grace also cannot be earned. It cannot be earned. In my work as a minister, I have sometimes come across folk who express desire to be a person of Christian faith, to begin a new chapter in their lives, but they just can't quite do it. If I'm permitted to ask them why, they usually offer some variation of the following answer. They say, "Joshua, if you knew where I have been, if you knew what I have done, you would understand why I cannot be a Christian." These are heartbreaking conversations to have with folk, to see the pain in their eyes, to hear the pain in their story, the crippling shame, fear of judgment. This kind of mentality, this kind of belief system, looks at our relationship with God as some kind of cosmic scorecard, with each day getting a plus sign or a minus sign, or if you prefer, a happy face and a sad face. Today was a happy face day. Today was a sad face day. Today was a success. Today was a failure. This is a ruthless way to look at our lives. And such people view most, if not all, of their lives as one massive minus sign on that scorecard. It's, I could never, ever please God. I fall so far short. This is how Luther, by the way, felt before he rediscovered the grace of God. This kind of view leads to the belief that somehow our own rights must outweigh our wrongs before God wants anything to do with us. Get your own house in order, we say to ourselves, and then we can think about God. That is not the gospel. That is not the gospel. The gospel is not about getting it right. We cannot get it right. I cannot get it right. Hear again what Ephesians said. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. If we think that we must get it right before we come to God, if we think we have to have it all together before God will accept us, we will never come to God then. Please don't fall into this trap. So God's grace is free. God's grace cannot be bought or earned. God's grace also transforms our lives. And I'm not sure there's a better display of the transforming power of God's grace than the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. Before he knew Christ, Paul was known by a different name. He was known as Saul of Tarsus. By his own admission, He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Suppose that's a bit like being an actor's actor. He was very proud of his heritage. He was sure of his status as one of the sons of Israel. Before he knew Christ, Saul went out of his way to persecute Christians, to stamp out the message of the gospel. Then in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9, we are told one fateful day that Saul was on his way to Damascus, and the Greek is quite literal. It says he was breathing out murder, against Christians in Damascus. He had letters of arrest from the chief synagogue to detain such Christians, to bring them back for trial so they may be punished. But on his way to Damascus, everything changed for Saul when he encountered the risen Christ. In that one moment, God's grace reached into every part of Saul's life, and he was reborn as Paul, God's apostle to the Gentiles. In the passage that Ishmael read for us from 1 Corinthians 15, Paul recounts his old way of life and how he came to know Jesus. He said, "Last of all, as one who was untimely born, Jesus also appeared to me." And hear what Paul says about himself. "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called such, because I persecuted the church of God." Now, most people would stop there. But what does Paul say next? But, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. Did we hear that? Did we hear what made the difference for Paul? Did he say, "But because of my talents, I am what I am. Because of I'm so intelligent, I am what I am." No. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain." Even after he came to faith in Christ, there were some who did not trust Paul, questioned his motives. He was a known figure, and they were shocked to see such a radical change in his life. But that's the effect of God's grace. And Paul, throughout his life and ministry, had to keep assuring others that this really did happen to him, that he really was a changed man, and he knew how much God's grace had done for him. There are times in our own lives when God's grace touches us, changes, transforms our lives, and sometimes others around us will say, "Yeah, right. I know who you really are. I know what you've done." And that's when we get to say, "Yes, I have done these things. I'm a sinner, fallen short, but let me tell you about God's grace. Let me tell you about this power that makes all the difference in my life, and it can make a difference in yours. Isn't it great? By grace, we have been saved." Grace worked for the Apostle Paul. It changed and transformed his life. Friends, the same can be true for us. When we encounter God's grace in our lives, we cannot continue as we did before. God knows we will struggle. God knows we will never get it completely right, but God's grace is greater than all those things. Just as it did for Paul, God's grace given to us by the Holy Spirit frees us to follow Jesus and to live into the kind of life that is pleasing to God. So God's grace is everything. God's grace is free. It cannot be earned. It transforms our lives. Thanks be to God for his grace.